everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Mr. Ray Allen. Ray's engineering and producing our show. I'm so ably assisted each day by Ray, very talented young man on the other side of the glass. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. This is the day they call the Ides of March. It's Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, and we of course have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, which kicks you over to kvoi.com, so you get the live stream wherever you are by a computer anywhere in the world. And of course, we always have our podcast, thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. We get those up usually within an hour or two at the conclusion of the program, and we have pretty much 6 years of programs archived at buckmastershow.com. We invite your calls, 790-2040. This is a talkback program, and if you'd like to talk with us, you have any questions or comments for Arizona's Superintendent of Public Instruction, Diane Douglas, Ms. Douglas would be very happy to take your questions and comments. You can also find us on Facebook, and we do Twitter. Let's go now on the live line to the state capital of Arizona, up to Phoenix, and Diane Douglas. Superintendent Douglas, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, we're 2 months into this legislative session. From an education point of view, education-wise, how does it look so far?
Well, we do have some concerns. One of the things that happened through the initial governor's budget is the IT funding for the Department of Education was zeroed out. So that's the funding that gets the money to the schools, gets the students counted, supports the schools through over 100 different IT programs and reporting systems and whatnot. So we're working on that issue very fervently. So,
well, why no IT funding? That seems rather short-sighted.
One of the things that has happened, and I don't know really historically why it has happened, but virtually every single other state agency in what they call their baseline budget gets IT funding, so that then they have the money to support their basic systems and maintain their systems, and then what they have to, and I'm putting this in air quotes, fight over, is the funding for new projects that they want to do. Well, for some reason, the Department of Education has never had their funding put in their baseline budget. So that means every year we have to start and basically not only persuade people that computers need to be maintained, we also then have to justify all the new projects that we need to do, as we should, not with the new projects, absolutely. And every year before, we submit a budget to JLBC and let them know what that base maintenance will be. And usually we don't get all that we need and ask for, but it's funded in the budget. And this year, for some reason, it was just zero. And that will effectively defund public education in Arizona if we don't get that reconciled.
I wonder what your reaction is to the governor talking about, really, some are saying for the first time, he said last night to Howard Fisher of the Capitol Media Services that Arizonans really have no choice but to keep those sales tax revenues coming toward education. He's talking about the extension in 2020 of that 0.6 cent levy that goes toward funding teacher salaries. Your reaction to that?
Well, one of the things I'd like to see is that moves forward. And I do believe in Arizona, we need a dedicated resource for education funding that school boards can count on year after year after year. In the past, we've seen programs get funded, and then the next year they're not funded, or a couple of years out, the funding stream dries up. So I wholeheartedly agree that we need a dedicated resource for our school and our education system. What I'd like to see is the discussions of Prop 301 move forward. If you look at Prop 301 as it was passed back in, I believe it was 2002. I'm not certain I'm right on that, but roughly in that time frame, it was sold to the voters as a proposition and a sixth of a cent sales tax that was going to teacher salaries. Well, if you look in the wording of the proposition and you look at the JLBC reports, there's a whole bunch of other things that get funded before the money gets to the teachers in the classroom. So as this discussion moves forward, I would like to see if we entertain continuing Prop 1, 301, that we do it that all of that money is dedicated to our teacher salaries in our education system.
Yeah, and that actually was first approved, I believe, in the year 2000, Superintendent. That dedicated 0.6 of a cent. So how are we doing in this battle to get teachers to stay in Arizona and, and to keep the teachers in the classroom where they belong?
Well, I think a raise for them is going to be a big piece of the issue. In my Arizona Kids Can't Wait plan, we recommended a 5% increase this year for teachers, and where that may not be all they deserve, I thought that it would help move the needle for them a little bit. It would still leave us on the lower end of salary scales nationwide, but there are a lot of other things that impact what all professions all across our country get paid. You know, it's not the same everywhere, but, you know, part of it, a piece of it is the respect and the support that they need. There are a couple of bills moving through the legislature that concern me, as to what it will mean for our teacher certification process. It's vital that we have, in my opinion, a state certification process. But there's a bill right now that if a teacher has a bachelor's degree, a fingerprint clearance card, and they work in a school for 1 year, a traditional or charter school, they will be deemed a certified teacher for 12 years.
Huh.
They won't have to take professional practice tests anymore. They won't have to take content knowledge tests any longer. They won't have to take the certification in structured English immersion or the Arizona Constitution. And while I want to make our certification process as easy as possible for people to come forward to get their actual certification license, the paperwork portion of the process, we still need for our children to hold the standards very high for the teachers we have in the classroom.
Yeah, speaking of standards, the replacement for No Child Left Behind is something called Every Student Succeeds Act, ESSA. How is Arizona doing in that program?
I am so very proud to tell you Arizona was the first state in the nation to file our ESSA plan. Hmm. And that was actually in January of this year. And some, because the official filing date is, I believe, April 3rd, and then there's another filing date in September. Well, when the ESSA plan was originally adopted and passed by Congress, the time frame was for January, so we built our whole structure, our public input, all our meetings, they were designed around a January submission date, so we're proud to say we got the work done. Hmm. Now with the new administration, there's a new template for the submission, so we are right now in the process of just making the format they first told us we had to use into the second format they now tell us we have to use. So it's a little bit frustrating that we have to keep doing work again and again and again to serve the mandates of Washington, but we use the law as our guiding factor. So we are, even though they've removed regulations, we use the law, and we built our plan based on the best interest of Arizona children. So we know we're doing right by our kids and by our teachers.
790-2040, if you have any questions, any of our listeners have questions for the superintendent. We've had a couple of questions that have come in. One of them came in just on my email a moment ago about salaries for teachers. Why not reduce the administrator's salary by 5% and give it to teachers? That would be an individual decision for each district. Is that correct, Superintendent?
That is correct. Salary schedules are set at the local level by your locally elected governing board. And practically, even if they would like to entertain that, your ratio of administrators to teachers would not cover the number of teachers, because as we should, we have a lot more teachers employed within our school districts. Because you know what? Parents and teachers are the number one educators of children.
Mm-hmm. And you know a little bit about this because you served on the school board, right, in Peoria, Arizona.
Yes, I had the pleasure of serving on that school board for 8 years and served 2 years as the board's president.
Do you miss that at all?
I'm so privileged to be in the position I'm in now that as important as the Peoria board was to me, it's now doing it at a state level. And, you know, the promise of the American public education system is that every single child will receive a great education to fulfill their God-given gifts and talents. And that's what sets us apart from many other nations around the world. And I want to fulfill that promise for our children.
We're going to take a break right here. Superintendent, please stick around. We've got another segment with you coming up, and then we will be back with you after we hear from the fine group of people who support the work we do here and really make this program possible. We ask that you give a listen and support these fine businesses and organizations. Be right back.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 1220 now here in Tucson, Arizona. On our live line, Diane Douglas, Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Arizona. Superintendent, what is your feeling about what's happening at the legislature with the voucher, school voucher system?
Well, you know, one of the things that's very important to me is there's two pieces moving forward. First is the universal vouchers and or ESAs, Empowerment Scholarship Counts, as we refer to them. And you know, we've been very measured with the expansion of that so far. And I've already shared with you my thoughts on our public education system and what its intended purpose was in our country and in our state. So I support our public schools, and I want to see those be as strong as they possibly can be. One of the other issues surrounding the ESAs is an effort to try to privatize the oversight of them. Right now, they're under the Department of Education. We've never been given the funding we need to fully administer that program, and yet my staff has done an absolutely phenomenal job. There's been zero internal fraud on any of the ESAs, and we catch any questionable transactions. So privatizing the oversight of public money, quite frankly, doesn't sit well with me.
I understand you're off to Washington, I believe, next week to meet with the new Secretary of Education, DeVos. One of the knocks on her has been that she has put a lot of emphasis on charters and not so much on regular public education for students. What about that?
Well, and I can't speak to the systems that she's been involved with in other parts of the country, but I am very much looking forward to the opportunity to meet and speak with her. But here in Arizona, charter schools are part of our public education system. So they are a public school as much as our traditional district schools are. But one of the things to me that has been an issue is leveling the playing field, that they shouldn't be playing by a very different set of rules, that the financial oversight that we have for our traditional districts should be the same oversight that we have for charters, and we should make sure that they are playing by fair rules. When I came into office, we created a Title 15 committee because also I don't necessarily believe if we're going to level the playing field, that means we impose more restrictions on someone else. I'd like to see our traditional districts have some of the freedom and latitude of operations that charter schools have. So that's our brand in Arizona.
Lisa Graham Keegan, one of your predecessors as the head of public education in Arizona, had an op-ed recently in the Capital Times, and she said it's important to remember that there are good schools, very good schools, not just in charters, but in traditional district schools, district magnet schools, and you find these very good schools in likely and unlikely places, she writes, affluent areas and low-income communities, rural, suburban, and urban areas. So I think that is a good point to remember that you're not just going to find good schools in charter schools or in one of these districts. They're all over the place.
They are. That's one area I definitely agree with her on. And another piece of it is one size fits one. And we can't just have one different way, but we have to make sure that what competition we set up does not harm other choices. You know, here in Arizona, 85% of our students are still enrolled in traditional districts for their education, even though we've had a charter system for 20 years. That tells me parents support and are still choosing a traditional education system. So we have to make sure what we do for others doesn't harm our public education system.
How are we doing to help our rural schools? I know that we have launched this Arizona Broadband for Education initiative to try to help some of the rural districts.
I am delighted to tell you that the broadband initiative was passed by the Corporation Commission yesterday in a 5-0 vote. And Secretary Reagan very kindly came and testified on behalf of that, because the broadband won't just help our school districts. It will help our libraries. It can help our businesses get that service into our rural areas. We've had 200 schools sign up so far, and we still have more time for more to join on. But this is a huge, huge, huge initiative for Arizona, and it'll bring, I believe it's $10-to-$1 match for our state. I'm very proud to tell you that my PIO, Stephen Swyatt, actually wrote that grant for the state of Arizona. Mm. And guys, we're one of, I believe, 7 states that were awarded that grant. So it is huge. It will change education for the positive in so many ways.
One of our Facebook friends wonders about a big story that is happening here today based on an arrest yesterday, a superintendent of 2 TUSD employees for not reporting sexual abuse to police. And I understand state law also requires that the Arizona Department of Education be contacted in these matters. And our Facebook friend wondered if this is an anomaly, or had there been other cases reported from TUSD over the last few years.
Specifically, I can't off the top of my head tell you if there have been any other cases from TUSD, but we can certainly get back to you with that information if you'd like. Generally, what happens when a teacher goes to certify, and this is why statewide certification and protecting that system is so very important, to make sure we have accurate information as teachers move from district to district. But when they fill out their application, they have to respond. Have they ever been arrested? Has their fingerprint card ever been pulled? Have they ever been incarcerated? There's a whole laundry list of questions. And if they don't answer them accurately, we do an investigation. One of the disagreements between my office and the State Board of Education is they moved the investigators out from under the department when they chose to move their staff off-site, and that ended up being resolved in a bill I ran last year that brought the investigators back to the Department of Education. So now they work hand-in-hand with our certification department and our certification people to investigate. If any of these questions come up, then the legal issues are one part, and under statute there's certain conditions under which there would be an automatic and full revocation. But in some cases, it's not as clear. Statute does not have a lot of automatic revocation within it. So then it would go under investigation by the Department of Education, and then we work with the Attorney General's office to bring those teachers to come before a committee of the board. It's called the Professional Practices Committee, PPAC we call it, and then they make recommendations to the board. Should a teacher certification just be suspended? Do they get a disciplinary letter? And it can go as far as revoking those, depending what the circumstances are. But for me, I do not abide teachers who abuse children in any way, shape, or form. So I'm sure that will be coming. If it hasn't been reported to the department already, I'm sure it will be. And you can believe I'll be asking about it when I get back to the office. If TUSD has reached out to us and filed that complaint.
All right, and we'll let our listeners know when we do get some more information on that. Superintendent Douglas, I appreciate very much your visit with us, and you'll be going back to Washington to meet with the new Secretary of Education. Overall, in conclusion, how would you say our test scores are looking overall for Arizona this school year, Superintendent?
Well, we'll be going into our testing schedule for the spring. They'll start taking the AZ Merit test, the window. If it's not open, it will be opening very shortly. We always have room for improvement.
Okay.
You know, especially with our third graders, we want to make sure that they meet that move on when reading requirement, because, you know, it's vitally important, as the legislature wanted to make third grade that line kind of in the sand, that if you're not reading by third grade, you can't move on. But we also know holding a student back can have devastating consequences too. So we want to make sure they get the help they need to be successful.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Superintendent Douglas. Have a safe trip back east. We appreciate your visit with us. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll catch up with an update when we get back.
Thank you very much. Superintendent of Public Instruction Diane Douglas. Up next, Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick will join us. That's right after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine, Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Don't let the bees put a sting into your day. Call the professionals at Five Star Pest Control. We have options for you. We can either send them to bee heaven, or we can remove the bees with their special equipment. Bee stings are the number one killer of humans. Call us and don't get stung. 886-0045, five-star-termite.com.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It'll be a great weekend to get over to Silver City. It's a nice road trip, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Should be a lovely time of year over in a really lovely portion of the southwestern United States, and specifically southwestern New Mexico. There are many great opportunities for recreating, like hiking and birding and scenic drives in the Gila National Forest and Wilderness. Silver City and Grant County, you can learn all about the many fine places to stay and the many recreation opportunities at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's go now on the live line to Tucson City Councilwoman representing Ward Number 3, Karen Ulick. Councilwoman, how are you?
Great, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. I believe tomorrow is the State of the City. Is that correct?
That's right.
What are you hearing? What will the message be? Has the mayor shared anything with you?
You know, I haven't seen the draft. Usually we do see it a day or so before. I suspect that a heavy emphasis will be on our plan and our current campaign to ask voters to approve a half-cent sales tax, to continue to invest in our roads and better equip the police and fire departments with what they need moving forward.
How do you think this is going to do, being out in the community? Do you think there's quite a bit of support for it?
Well, I think it's a big deal. Anytime we ask our residents to invest more and pay more taxes, I do think, though, that we have heard great positive feedback on our progress on the roads as a result of the bond question that was passed a few years ago. In fact, our ranking amongst cities our size, the 70 cities, a number of years ago, we ranked toward the bottom of the pack, I think the fifth worst in terms of road condition. Just this week, a report was released showing that we've risen to the middle. Now we're kind of at number 35. If we can get this sales tax initiative passed, I suspect will be at the top of the list within a few short years. That's the kind of thing that voters need to know for sure, that if they agree to invest in Tucson, they're going to see the results of that investment. And I think that will help us a great deal. I'm hopeful that the residents of Tucson that our partners will see the value in that proposal.
Yeah, isn't it funny how times change? People used to complain, oh my gosh, the roads are so horrible. Now I hear people complaining everywhere I go, all I see is road work. Well, be patient, avoid the streets where there's the road work, and the dividends will be paying off very soon.
and I would say patience for sure. Recognize that every orange cone needs another job that's being generated. The other thing, I wouldn't avoid those cones, though, Bill, because I do get concerned about the small businesses in those areas. I was just at Brother John's on North Stone recently, and they've seen quite a dip in their business during that construction. So we kind of encourage people to give extra patience and try and lend their support to those areas, and especially those small businesses that are locally owned along those routes.
Now, you have decided you will not be standing for re-election. Some have been speculating, well, maybe in a few years you would be considering a seat on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Are you thinking maybe eventually getting back into politics, or what are you thinking right now?
You know, right now, Bill, I really am not speculating about any future public office or standing for election. You know, if that makes sense in the future, then certainly I'd be open to it. But I don't have any plan or ambition toward that end. I've really enjoyed and valued being on the city council and serving my city. I just love Tucson, and it's been a great experience.
I have had on the program I think there's three, maybe four of the Democrat candidates who will be vying in the primary. Seems like an impressive group. I assume you're not going to make an endorsement, or is that a wrong assumption?
At this point, I really am not planning on endorsing. I think, as I would say to anybody, and I told myself, every time I ran, I'm looking for thousands of endorsements from individual voters in the city of Tucson. So, I'm glad that there's interest in serving, and we'll look forward to, you know, participating in the election as a voter and in no other particular way.
We have Fletcher McCusker coming on the program on Friday. Certainly downtown has been a huge success story, hasn't it?
It really has, Bill, and as you know, I've been on now for, it'll be 12 years.
Right.
That was not the story 12 years ago. We really had some heavy lifting to do and some intense cleanup to do to get things on track. And Fletcher and the Rio Nuevo Board have been important partners in accomplishing that. And I think the mayor and council, as well as key partners in the private sector, have really helped us turn that corner, and it is great to see. It's going to mean something not only for downtown. I'm of course anxious to see it draw up the corridors into Ward 3, and have been working hard to see that happen. It'll mean something, and I think already means a lot to the entire valley, our economy and our quality of life, and it'll just, I think, bear fruit for decades to come.
How is this program to try to get the homeless to involve, get working in some of our neighborhoods to clean up the areas?
Oh, I can't say enough about Councilmember Fimbres' effort to get that program off the ground, to pull in so many key partners. I just saw a report. Oh, I wish I had the numbers in front of me, Bill. Just, dozens of people who have transitioned into housing, employment, just really whose lives have been improved by such a simple effort to say, we want you to participate in this community and we want to give you a chance. In addition, because it's a cleanup project and program, tons and tons of debris and garbage have been removed from neighborhoods and roadways. So all credit goes to Councilmember Fimbres for being so focused in getting that off the ground.
A year ago, we had, it was in the headlines quite a bit about our homeless camping in different areas downtown. It seems like this year that was sort of under the radar. Am I wrong there, or what do you think?
No, I think that the dynamic has shifted, and as you know, the mayor has, along with others on the council, has been very focused on housing veterans who are homeless, and now anyone who's been out there for a longer period of time. So there's been just enormous efforts on the part of the Tucson-Pima collaboration to end homelessness. Many, many different organizations and groups. And so the numbers of homeless folks is going down, and the opportunities to get off the streets are increasing. We're not there yet, but I think we've made some progress.
What will you be doing when you leave the council? What work are you going to be pursuing?
Well, as you may know, Bill, I have been working in the behavioral health sector now for the last almost 3 years mm-hmm. through the Community Partnership for Southern Arizona and now Simpatico. And I work on exactly that. I work on making sure that any access-enrolled person who's homeless is identified, and we contact that person and try and get them some housing as well as whatever other medical and or behavioral health services that they might need. So it's still my passion. It was my passion when I moved to Tucson in 1993 to join the Primavera Foundation, and continues to be my passion.
Karen Ulick, thank you very much. Good catching up with you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Karen Ulick, Tucson City Councilwoman. She represents the 3rd Ward, Ward number 3, here in our community, where we are pushing now just a few seconds away from 12:45, midweek edition, back right after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. Be a great weekend to do some gardening. Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road. They are just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a great location. On 13 acres, they've got a couple of workshops coming up. St. Patty's Day. Hey, spend part of your day wearing green at Green Things and learn about drip irrigation. They've got a workshop over there Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock at Green Things. You can go to their website, greenthingsaz.com. Well, don your best 1880s attire and celebrate the 137th anniversary of the railroad coming to Tucson next to Locomotive 1673 at the historic Railroad Depot. It is the Silver Spike Festival this Saturday. Our historian contributor Ken Schofield is with us. Ken, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. It's nice and warm and toasty. So
yeah, I can't remember a March this warm.
Well, it's always great because it tells you where you live. We live in a desert.
Sure. We live in a desert. Well, it might be nice and toasty, too, for the Silver Spike event. What's going to be going on? This is going to be a fun one.
Right. And again, we're celebrating the arrival of the railroad into Tucson officially on March 20th, 1880. And this would be the pivotal event to change fashion, our architecture, our way of life. And for those of us like myself that are allergy sufferers, bringing in mulberries and everything else that would bring all those pollens to the desert.
Oh, I'll thank the railroad then every time I get the sneezes, which I've had lately, and a lot of other people from the allergies. Mayor Bob Leatherwood was the chief executive of our community at that time, wasn't he?
That's correct. And like everything else in Tucson, we were a little late on the planning for the event, and then the train comes in early, and you can almost see him. I don't think I wasn't there, tucking his shirt in, and he's running down Congress Street getting ready for the dignitaries. And what's really interesting about this, they're doing a reenactment of how Mr. Crocker from the Southern Pacific Railroad, who the president, receives this golden spike from Mr. Ochoa. And Tully and Ochoa had one of the great merchant businesses where they brought supplies on wagons across the desert. And he's welcoming the railroad, which is going to put him out of business.
And it was a silver spike that they presented.
Yes, and this was silver from Tombstone, because one of the great motivations for the railroad was the mining interests. Mm-hmm. Again, all of Arizona at the time. Why would anybody want to be here except for the mining interests? And we needed an all-weather route. So the northern route that we all know going through Flagstaff would get snowed out. So they wanted a northern route, but everybody wanted to get to California.
And this is the 137th anniversary of the arrival of the first train. And by the way, there was no picture, official picture, because the train, as you said, arrived early.
Arrived early, and like everybody forgot their smartphones.
Yeah.
But we have a great photo documentation of Tucson and how we missed the railroad.
I don't know.
One of those great ironies.
So this will be also the 12th anniversary, 12 years now, for our Southern Arizona Transportation Museum. And for folks who have not been down there, Ken, it's at 414 North Toole Avenue in our historic depot that's been remodeled and restored. And
yes, it has all the elements, and I've gone to other railroad museums and train depots across the United States, but we actually want to have one of the preserved locomotives, one that actually was starred in Oklahoma. But we have a wonderful museum, a railroad museum, given the scale and size, and it tells the story nicely. Then we're still an active Amtrak station. Then we've got all the other food venues. It's one of those great, a few great success stories of restoration and the city involvement. It makes it a wonderful destination.
We always hear about all the newcomers to our area. Well, there's some families that have really been around this community for a long, long time that go back, their ancestors, to that big day of the railroad arrival.
Well, I still can't think of another event where we have the great-grandsons of Mr. Ochoa, Mr. Tully, Mayor Leatherwood.
Oh, my goodness.
All these things.
Mayor Leatherwood's great-grandnephew, Bobby Morris, is going to be attending. I didn't know Mayor Leatherwood had any relatives here in town.
Well, the very fact that we have the descendants, and obviously they take great passion and enjoyment of connecting that tradition from their families of this event in Tucson.
How about the Steinfelds?
And Steinfelds also represented, too, by Mr. Lyons. Mm-hmm. And again, the Steinfeld family, whether it's Albert, who was the founder, and Harold later on, and all the department store work and they did. And one thing about Albert that was just amazing to me, he came out to work for his uncle, whose name was Zeckendorf. He worked for his uncle for 30 years before he bought them out. And his first night in Tucson, Mr. Steinfeld cried himself to sleep. He couldn't believe what a horrible place he ended up in. And here he would have all this great success over the decades, but he just cried himself to sleep the first night in Tucson.
So he's sitting there crying, saying, who cares about
dusty
Tucson?
Dusty streets, crumbling
adults. Who cares? What am I doing
and
in
it was
this?
It was probably the hottest march he ever remembered.
Unbelievable. And the Ochoas, the Esteban Ochoa's great-grandson, and who were the Ochoas? Peter Ochoa will be here at the reenactment.
Well, Tully and Ochoa was one of the most
famous. The Tullys and the Ochoas.
They were partners, and they brought all the supplies into Tucson on wagons, dodging the Apaches, the heat, and even criminals that would be stopping, trying to rob along the way. But they knew, and Mr. Ochoa, who also was mayor, he knew that this was going to be the end of his business because now things are coming on the railroad. It's almost like Walmart coming to your town. Now the trade and all the new merchants, they don't have to inventory. So all his inventory dropped in value.
We got some lady engineers who will also be honored at the event.
And this one was totally new to me. Back in the 1970s, we had a couple of pioneer ladies that said, we should be able to take the classes and we should be engineers and we are certainly qualified. And they really had to push, but they are great pioneers. Linda Gasser, Jean Rader, and Julie Peters.
Huh. Lady railroaders going to be honored.
Honored. All became engineers.
How do you like what's going on with downtown? We were just talking about that a little bit with Karen Ulick.
Well, amazing, because I gave the first walking tour on Congress Street in 1984.
Did you really?
And the Arizona Daily Star said, dare the darkness and come downtown.
Yeah, in 84, what did you really have? Not a lot to show off at that time.
We had plenty of historic buildings, we could all find a parking spot.
So when you look at it then, 84, over the past 33 years, you've seen these huge changes.
Right.
How have we done preservation-wise?
Actually, pretty good. We've weaved in new construction around the others. Those of us that really look in it closely, the buildings sort of dwarf, like the original Brown House where Ben's Bells is today, that dwarfs it a little bit. And I sort of snooped around to make sure there was enough space in between the adobe wall and the new wall that if you had to do repairs. But I'd say overall, pretty good job. As I look at all the watering holes downtown today, I think about, we've just recreated 1870s Tucson.
I was just going to, I knew you were going there.
Yeah, but it is. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, a lot of watering holes. Tucson, I guess, is pretty famous for that back in the 1880s, for sure, when the railroad came to town. Ken, and the Tucson Museum of Art, there's a new head of that organization who we've had on the program, and he seems to be very passionate about preservation of their block.
Yes, we're giving a whole new focus on the historic block. I gave him a walking tour of the neighborhood and introduced him, and I'm going to be working on a few events with him. In fact, later this week, I meet with one of the exhibit people that I'm going to work on an interpretive exhibit down there.
So it looks like that's going to be, because that's a very costly enterprise.
Yes, it is. And if you get behind on the maintenance, it even becomes more expensive. So we've got somebody in there that seems very motivated for good things.
You have worked on this book. Is that just about completed now?
Well, I've got my first proof copy. I'm a retired teacher, and I put together a book for all elementary school teachers and parents to teach United States history. And the different slant is you can use Google Earth to go around historic places around the country. The students would have a travel log, so they would write in and make comments and discussions. And the focus, the bench focus for this is the National Mall in Washington, D.C.
This could all be done online.
Online. So you can do it at home if you're a homeschooler or in the classroom. And I'm actually got really lucky. I'm going to a national conference in Atlanta later this month.
Historic places of the Republic. Yeah.
A guide to teaching United States history for K-5 elementary school teachers and parents.
Good. And we'll talk some more about that when that book is officially published later on in May. So the 137th anniversary of the railroad coming to town, that's Saturday morning. Things getting underway. The music begins at 9:30, the event at 10, and it's down at the Historic Depot. This should be a lot of fun for everybody.
A great event. Park your car. Go to the event and then go have lunch on Congress Street.
Are you doing then a walking tour in the afternoon or no?
No, not this week. Not this week.
All right. Ken Scoville. Thank you very much, Ken.
Great to be here, Bill.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, mic check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. They put together their hour from 4 to 5. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9. Talking culture from 9 to 10. And then me, Bill Buckmaster. I will be back with you to 12:04 tomorrow. And talk some more about education. Rachel Sedgwick will be with us, TUSD governing board member. We'll spend a whole half hour with her, get to know how she is doing since being elected to the board. We'll be right back in 24 hours. How's that? Have a great afternoon and evening.